Two years ago, we had to leave Tennessee, and move to Texas. Rattlesnakes, cactus, a lot of bad things there. Got down there, my wife was happy, and I was sad. I left Tennessee. I love Tennessee. But folks, I love this church. If the Lord was to ask me, where would you like to go? I'd say, Lord, let me go up there to this church, and I'd be here. Folks, God has blessed you. This building is beautiful. But you know what makes it beautiful? You do. You're faithfully serving the Lord God of the universe in this place. Serve Him. Don't be ashamed. Keep on keeping on. And you young people, give your lives now to the Lord's work. I surrendered to be a missionary when I was a teenager. And I really meant it. I pastored for a while. But knowing that God wanted us to go to Ethiopia. Now, I love Ethiopia. Fact is, I'll surprise you, I love Ethiopia even more than I love Tennessee. and certainly more than I love Texas. But I'll not be going back. But I want you to pray for one of our men. Would you do that, please? How many of you pray for him? Okay. Good, I'll tell you. His name is Tesfaye Gosa. When he was just a little boy, he was playing in the field one day and found a hand grenade left over by the war that had just finished. And he was playing with it, and it exploded and left Tesfaye laying close to death in the field. Well, they took him to a hospital, and they operated, and today he's blind. But he's a preacher. He won't let blindness keep him from preaching the Word of God. And he has a scar, starts up on top of his head, comes down around his forehead, across the eyebrow, and down like this, all the way to his face. He's the ugliest man I ever saw in my life. Well, until I met some of your people. Yes. Some of you really need prayer, I'll tell you. But Tesfaye, his right arm was blown away. The tips of his fingers were blown up. And he reads Braille with the edge of his thumb. And he's in his late 70s now. And he's still serving the Lord. Now, I would ask you this question. Not to everybody here, but to some. What's your excuse? What's your excuse? Tesfaye has given his life to the Lord. He married a blind woman. It's a good thing. If she could see, she'd never marry him. He's so ugly. But she's a sweetheart and was his sweetheart. And they have, is it three children now? Three children. And he's still faithfully preaching the Word of God. Our works are still going on. When the communists came in, they took away our church buildings. They took all of our property. And so our people don't have regular meeting places. And so they have to meet in houses from time, place to place. But they are serving the Lord. He means everything to them. They will not stop going on serving God. And I can say to you younger missionaries, you're not wasting your time. Love those people, train those people, lead those people to the Lord, and leave them alone and let them do the job for God. And they'll do it. They'll break your heart. Well, I'd like tonight for you to turn to the book of John. And you'd never guess which verse. Anybody want to try? No, not five. Three. Yes, three. Okay. We worked with the deaf also, so I use fingerspelling. So, and some signs. I'm forgetting my sign. So, but three. And what verse do you think of when you think of John chapter 3?
16.
What's that?
16.
16. All right. Let's look at that. John 3, 16. How many of you know it by memory? Okay, let's all say it by memory. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Did you hear that? We shall not perish. Emphasis on shall not. We shall not perish, but we will live forever in heaven's glory. Oh, folks, listen. We shall not quit. Don't quit. They said, when I turn 70, you're going to quit preaching and get some rest? I said, my rest is in the pulpit. I kept on preaching. And when I turned 80, I kept on preaching.
Yeah.
I'm not 90 yet. Where's Fred? Fred, are you here? Yes. Fred's my buddy. Yes. And he's 90, and he's still going on for God. That's what I want to do. Fred, you've been an inspiration to me, buddy. And I want you to know something. I love you. I love you like a brother. God bless you. You pray for Fred and pray for us as we serve God. I've been praying now for the last 2 years that the Lord would let us go back to preaching and get back in the churches. You tell by my sound of my voice, it's hoarse. It's not always hoarse, but it's hoarse this week. Not a horse that you ride, it's hoarse down here. Yeah. And let me tell you something. I'm praying that God will give me at least 20 more good years of service in His Word. I got something to tell people, and I want them to hear me. I want you to hear what I have to say. Okay, everybody, how many of you know this verse? Come on. Okay, John, what is it?
3:16.
Okay, John 3:16. Everyone together, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that a precious verse? And it's one that I think that young children learn when they're little boys and girls. And it's one that Fred and I, though we're, he's in his 90s, he's my daddy, I guess. I'm just a young man, 81, and that we still remember. And we can still quote that verse. But let's turn to John chapter 3 and verse 16. And I want to say about this verse that John 3:16 is the central point of the entire Word of God. You don't mean that. I do mean it. It's the central point of the Word of God. And it's not necessarily in the middle of the Bible, but it certainly carries the main theme of the entire Word of God. Hold on to John 3:16. Learn it, read it, use it, quote it, tell other people about this verse, and win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 3:16, we find that it contains the subject matter of the entire Word of God. Now, John 3:16 is a short verse, and this is a big Bible. But it's the central point of the entire Word of God. And this is what God wants us to know tonight and every day. It contains the subject matter of the entire Word of God. What's that? God loves people.
Amen.
Say it with me. God loves people. Not only does it contain the subject matter of the entire Word of God, but it also contains the central character of the Bible. And His name is Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And He's the only begotten Son. I once heard a great preacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, say on the radio before he died, and this was some years before he died, he made this statement, and I couldn't believe it. He said, "I never preach a sermon from John 3:16. I couldn't believe what I just heard. And then he quoted it again so that everybody could understand. "I never preach from John 3:16. But I know what it is to live it." And certainly, J. Vernon McGee lived the Word of God. But this immediately captured my attention. I couldn't believe what I just heard from one of my heroes of the faith. But you know, years later, I read a sermon that my preacher hero wrote from John 3:16. And this is the reason that I never preach from this passage, is because my limited, finite mind, he said, can never begin to comprehend the greatness of such love that God had for me. And that touched my heart. It really did. I don't cry easy. But that day I wept as the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "Dick, I want you to preach that. I want you to preach that message that you heard from Dr. J. Vernon McGee." And so I don't preach the sermon exactly as he wrote it or as he preached it, but I preach John 3:16 over and over. I love it. I change it from time to time. But the reason that I never preach from this passage is because my finite, limited, useless mind can never begin to comprehend the greatness of God's love for such a sinner as me. Oh, God is so good to us, isn't He? Sure is. And I praise the Lord for Him. A German theologian once said of this scripture, John 3:16 contains the greatest of thoughts that God loves people. God's love is so great, he said, that it can never be totally understood. The greatest of theologians can never begin to contemplate the greatness of God's love. Yet the simplistic beauty is an easily understood by even a young child. And so we're falling someplace between that, young and old. And we're all here together. And so young people understand it, and you old people struggle sometimes with the thought of the greatness of God. Oh, how could He love such a sinner as we are? How could He? God loves people. Say it with me. God loves people. He really does. And I want you to understand. Now, this passage very clearly opens the secrets of John 3:16. And it's found in Ephesians chapter 3. Hold your finger, if you got a ribbon, put it there in John 3. And let's go over to the book of Ephesians. We'll read there in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. And it says, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, but we walk in faith," don't we, everybody? Yeah, yes. All right, thank you. Now then, this passage in Ephesians clearly opens in verse 16 through verse 19. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19, clearly opens the secrets of understanding the book of John. It certainly has helped me. So look at that. Number one, the breadth of God's love. Everybody say it. The breadth of God's love. Number two, the length of God's love. You say it. The length of God's love. Number three, the depth of God's love. Say it. The depth of God's love. And number four, the glorious height of God's love. Oh, beloved, the love of our Savior goes beyond the walls of this church. And this is a beautiful building that God has given to you. I'm so glad He has. But God's love goes on out into the slums of Detroit. And there are people there that need the Lord. And there are people in your area, in the rich houses and in the slummy houses, that need the Lord and need to understand that God loves people. We know that because He loves us, doesn't He? Everybody say yes, He sure does. Now let's get back to John 3:16 and see how that this verse amplifies this greatest of all verses. It says that He gave His only begotten Son. Now that's a rich thought, isn't it? God only had a son, but He gave Him. You know what He gave Him to? A lost and dying world. He gave Him to the black people of Ethiopia. I was tickled this week. Oh, there you are. Yes, we were downtown or someplace. And I saw a black person. And I asked that black person about his salvation. And anyway, he didn't get saved. But, oh, beloved, it's such a joy. I made up my mind some years ago, I'll never meet a person. Even as I get old, I'll never meet a person that I have to whisper to with a hoarse voice and tell about Jesus. Because Jesus is the way of life. And oh, how we need to give our lives to Him who gave His life for us. And so that's the reason that we ought to serve God, because God loves us. He really does. Well, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. No greater love can we lay down our lives for lost and dying people. Yesterday we were coming here from Fort Worth. We left our suits on an airplane. We haven't got them yet, so I had to go down and buy a new suit. Got two. Thank you, Florine. And so we had to go down and buy some suits. And so I made up my mind some years ago that I'll never buy anything, I'll never take anything that I don't ask that person his relationship with the Lord. And I said to that man, "Sir, you sold me a nice suit. I like it. You sold me a nice suit. But sir, do you know the Lord?" He looked at me and he smiled. He was a black man. He said, "I sure do." And I said, "Have you been saved?" He said, "I sure have. I've been saved twice." I said, "Well, that's something to think about." I said, "Explain to me, what do you mean you've been saved twice?" He said, "Well, I thought I was saved when I joined the church, but it wasn't. And then when I left that church and I went to another church that preached a little bit differently, I realized I need to be saved. So I got saved again." And I said, "Well, I believe that. That's all right. We'll understand that." And so we bought our suit and got out. But praise God. Oh, witness for Christ. Wherever you go, whoever you see, the milkman, the paper boy, always witness to them some way. Be a witness for Christ, because He was willing to die for such sinners as you and I are or were. Oh, God is so good. Well, let's get on. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for a friend. Who do you love enough to die for? Now be careful when you answer that question. Love people. Love the people you meet on the street. Love the people next door. "Oh, preacher, don't say that. They got teenage kids. It's terrible. They stir up the neighborhood with their loud music and what have you." But love them. They need the Lord. Your neighbor needs Christ. Your son, your daughter, your whoever in your family needs the Lord. All because God loves them. And He might express His love to them through you. And so that's the reason that we need to be a witness to everyone. Now, Florine, stand up. This is my dear wife. Would you stand up? No, wife number two. Joyce is in heaven, and I got one here making heaven for me here on life. Now, isn't it true, Florine, that every place we go, that I witness to people? And it's the greatest joy that I have. I can't win everybody to the Lord, but I can tell everybody I meet about Him.
Good.
And so I do, and so should you. And just make up your mind, that's what I'm going to do. And so, just greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. Oh, beloved, serve people. Serve people. Well, the next thing that I want you to note is God not only gave His love for us, but He gave His love for a lost and dying world. And we need to understand that. We see the length of God's love will reach a poor, shattered, broken, blind boy in Ethiopia. And what's he doing today? All of his life, he studied under our ministry. And today he's still preaching. That means my ministry goes on. Praise the Lord. I'm not in Ethiopia, but the ministry's there.
Right.
And we're going back, Florine, one day. I don't know when we'll get to go back, but we're going home one of these days. And so you serve the Lord and let Him have His way in your life. Well, next thing. I want to ask you, who is your worst enemy? Who is that person that just turned you off? Now, don't you lie to me and say, oh, preacher, I don't hate anybody. Now, I know some of us do hate some people. And who is your worst enemy? Who is that person that you can't stand? I mean, he might not even have discovered the secrets of Colgate dental cream, and his breath would knock you over. Or maybe he's never taken a bath, and in underarms he puts around you and hugs your neck or something. Who you think, yeah, I can't love. Haven't you known people like that? Sure. Yeah, maybe some of you are like that or here. I don't know. I hope so. But nevertheless, I'm not saying this to embarrass anybody. But who is your worst enemy? The one that you can't stand. What about them? God loves them. He loves them with the same love that He loved you when He saved you. Isn't that right, preacher? I'm not telling you something wrong. And this will be a great joy to you to love people. You know why? Because God loved us. And He saved us. And we're on our way to heaven. And brother, that's a beloved thought. I'm not here with a hoarse voice all the time, but I'm going to heaven and I'm going to sing with the choirs of heaven throughout all eternity. What a joy that we have in Christ. Well, greater love is this, that no man, let me quote it again, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for a friend. For a friend. Be a friend to people. Love people. Express to them your ability to love them. And tell them about Christ and how good Christ has been to you. I remember one time I was witnessing to a lady, and I said, man, can I tell you the greatest story that I've ever heard? It won't take long. And she said, yes, I'd like to hear it. And I said, well, God loves me. He loves you? You believe in a God? I sure do. I talk to Him every day. I believe there's a God in heaven. And He gave His Son. And He came. And He died on a cross where men had nailed Him. And He suffered agony. He suffered the sin that we should suffer, or for the sin that we should suffer. But we don't have to suffer that. He died in our stead, in our place. And she said, "Tell me more." And I told her more. And that 80-some-year-old woman, Miss Mary, turned to Christ. And she turned to her sister, who was some years older, and won her to the Lord. And they're in the church now, faithfully winning people to Christ. Oh, beloved, let me tell you something. We got a job to do in this world, haven't we? We sure have. Well, the depth from which God saves us, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. God's love, now think on this. God's love, the center part of this verse, God's love goes down into the depths of sin to reach the whosoever's that He loves. Now, who are the whosoever's? Everybody. God loves people. And how does He love people? He loves people through us and through our voices and by our tongues and by telling them of the good news that God will save them from the depths of hell, which we believe, don't we? Sure we do. To the glorious heaven. God loves people and He wants to use us to tell them of His love. So we need to give ourselves to that. And I hope tonight that during the invitation, that some of you who haven't really loved the Lord, you've been a little bit shy, you'll come forward and just give your life to Christ and let Him talk through your voice. You wouldn't believe this, but there was a time when I was a boy here in Detroit, not far from here, and I got saved when I was 13 under the preaching of J. Frank Norris. Any of you ever hear of him? And I knew Dr. Norris, and I saved under his ministry. And then Dr. Vick, my dad's cousin, was the next pastor for several years. And I learned from these great men of God. And I learned that I had to give my life not only to the Lord, but for other people to see the Lord. And that was important. And oh, beloved, we need to let our lives shine for Christ. God loves goes down to the depths of sin to reach the whosoever's. And so we that are here tonight are of that whosoever band of Christian people that have been saved. God's love goes down for us. The love, concern, compassion of man often overlooks those who need love and help the most. But God's love never even overlooks one person. That's for everybody. And I guess Tesfaye Gosa is the most pitiful, pathetic looking man I've ever known. And I went to see him, and I winced when I saw this ugly boy in his house. And I sat down and I began to witness to Tesfaye. And he said this: "Could God love somebody like me? One arm, fingers half there, reading Braille with his thumb, in a school for blind children. And he was not only blind, but he's crippled." Oh, yes, Tesfaye. God loves people. And you're a people. So join the crowd. And he did. And he's going to heaven with us. Last time I saw Tesfaye, I went to his house. Florine was with me. And Tesfaye was in his bedroom. You remember Florine? His wife said, "Excuse Tesfaye. He can't come out right now." I said, "What's the matter? Is he sick?" "Oh, no, no. He's talking to the Lord. Woo, that blessed my heart. You pardon me if I get excited. You know, one day we met a deaf man in Ethiopia, and I just told you a story. But somehow Washington, D.C., and all the famous people and all the great preachers of the world passed him by. And there was just one little old new missionary that had come to Ethiopia and went to see him. And I told him about the Lord, and he got saved. Somehow Washington, D.C. had passed by, testified. No Peace Corpsman ever visited his home. A care package never made its way to his house. The world had passed him by. The name Gabriel had never been installed in the great computers of the world. But when men passed him by, God's love reached him. And God wants to love somebody, maybe not as bad as he is, through you. Will you give your life to serve him? Joyce worked with Tesfaye for 3 years trying to teach him. And finally the day came when he was saved. And he prayed the simplest of prayers, yet so profound that the Lord of heaven had time to listen to and answer the prayer of Tesfaye Gosa. We saw him a few years ago for the last time. Since the first time that we went back to Ethiopia. And he fell at Joyce's feet. Get this. He fell at her feet and wept. And he hugged her knees up close to him. And he kissed those knees that so often had prayed to the God of heaven that Tesfaye would be saved. And then he reached up. And Joyce put her arms around him and pulled him to her breast. And he held Joyce. And they loved one another. That was the most precious moment in our lives that we could see Tesfaye, our beloved disciple and friend in Ethiopia. And, beloved, I'll tell you what Christ can do for us. He can forgive us of our sins. He dwells in heaven and taking us there one day. What more else can we say? Oh, there's one other verse. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Woo! Glory! We're going to heaven. Are you going with us? I hope so. Can anything be greater than the love that we've told you about tonight? I don't know of anything greater. I don't think it's possible. I love this song. I won't sing it, I promise. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore, how long? Forevermore be the saints and angels. Song. Can anything more adequately describe the love of God than the above verse? What is that verse? How many of you know John 3:16 by memory? Well, let's all say it together. And if you don't know it, read it and learn it and start using it. Okay? Okay, everybody together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe, but everlasting life. God is good, Pastor.